Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life in a room that is slowly getting cooler.
Marginally.
Yes, my name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores. We are broadcasting from the heart, the deep down heart of Portland. I'm not even reading this. It's right here in front of me.
Okay. It's your choice. You can go off the script or you can go off the script.
It's a new studio. I'm still getting used to it.
Yeah. Fluorescent lights, right? That's yep. Part of it.
It threw me off. It's conflicting with the fillings in my teeth.
Ah, yes.
I forgot my foil hat. Deep in the heart of Cascadia, from the People's Republic of Portland.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally while...
opening a beer?
Yeah, well, there's that.
Thinking locally.
While operating globally.
Too late.
And enjoying the best life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains, and transit, and simpler living. And today, family bicycling. You even wrote that in there.
Too. I did. Oh, nice. I'm just to look behind the scenes, I am filling in all of the blanks. So, Aaron, last week you had a story about missing the bus in Seattle.
I missed the bus.
And that's something I will never, ever, ever do again.
Thank you.
No, this morning I have a story of actually catching the bus at the right time because my bike was misplaced. It was elsewhere.
Oh.
It wasn't misplaced. I just left it behind because I thought I was just going to come back and grab it later. And the way it worked out was I ended up leaving it overnight. And so my friend was babysitting my bike, and I took I took TriMet to work this morning. The one thing you want to do when you take TriMet to work, if you use that trip planner thing, make sure you know what time you want to arrive, and make sure you enter that time correctly.
Because
I'm supposed to be at work by 6:45, and last night, as I was like planning out the trip, I'm like, I'm going to be on this. I got my plan. I got to figure out which bus to take at what time. I said, all right, 7:45, got to be there. It's all in. I got to be there at 6:45.
Oops.
I didn't realize that until I got on the bus at 6:15 this morning. I was like, wait, there's no way the bus will take me all the way to work by 6:45.
Oh, no.
This is a transit trip of like, you know, an hour. So I ended up hopping off of the bus, and people who
Wait,
have
that's
listened,
counterintuitive there.
Right. But I have to get in touch with my dispatcher, because like if I just don't show up for work, that's worse than if I call in ahead of time. And people who listen to the show for a long time know that I don't carry a cell phone. I only have a Wi-Fi phone kind of thing. So I hop off at the McDonald's near Fremont and 82nd. And I'm standing outside there poaching their Wi-Fi. And I'm calling my dispatcher saying, hey, I don't know if I'm able to make it in on time. And she says, well, that's too bad because like all the cover drivers are out. And they're like pulling staff from the office who never drive to drive routes because like all these drivers did not show up to work today. So I don't want to be like, I don't want to be one more. I don't want to be the asshole that just like, you know, did not show for work because like, no, I took the wrong bus. So I ended up sprinting from the McDonald's at Fremont to a car to go. It was like 5 or 6 blocks away, something like that.
All right.
Just long enough to feel like that's too long to sprint.
Right.
I hop in the car to go. I drive it down the Portland Highway at like 50 miles an hour. Don't tell anybody.
This is
not a matter of public record, right?
Right, okay.
Yeah. Hypothetically.
We'll just cut that part out.
Hypothetically.
Miles an hour. So you filled in the blank that you shouldn't have filled in.
Oh, there we go. See, we're not perfect yet. But then I slide into a parking space, like right on the very border of the car to go boundary area. I park it. I sign out of my trip. And then the number 6 bus shows up like right as I get to the stop. So this is perfectly timed.
Oh, wow.
I ride that bus for 5 minutes. It takes me up to the edges of civilization. And then I run maybe like 3/4 of a mile to my dispatcher's office. And I was very tired after that.
But you made it on time.
But I was not on time, but I was not very late. Like I had expected I would be like half an hour, maybe an hour late, which is lame.
Yeah.
And I ended up being there only 10 minutes late, I think.
All right.
And I was not late to my first student pickup.
I live where I work, and sometimes I'm still 10 minutes late.
It's because you missed the bus, though, right?
Right. Missed the bus downstairs.
That's it, yeah. So anyways, that happened. That was exciting. I don't want to do it again. So anyways.
Very multimodal.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, forgot to introduce Kath Yule.
Hello.
Is it Yule?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like Christmas. But spelled differently.
Kath Yule here joining us in studio. Thank you for coming out.
Oh, thank you for having
me. We'll talk a little bit about a number of things. Before we do, Aaron, is there anything you wanted to kick in here? Did you have any experiences that were exciting and awesome?
Oh, I did. Any of you listeners, if you happen to be on 10th and Yamhill downtown on Wednesday, where the library is.
I heard about this.
You would have seen a very graceful yet very spectacular fall on my part.
Oh, no.
And I say this because it's a very public place, but apparently, anyways, one of my friends actually did witness me do this. He was at this coffee shop across the street,
and oh, no.
He was just about to leave. He stood up, and he's like, oh, hey, I know that. Oh, holy shit.
I know that guy, and all of a sudden he's in trouble.
Yeah. So what had happened was one of my panniers, you know, I ride with them up front.
Yes, you do. As do I.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
Kath, where do you ride with your panniers?
I don't have any.
All right, we're going to get to that later.
Got that giant box, you know.
Right. Blank, filled in.
Yeah.
So one of them wasn't clipped in all the way.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, coming down Yamhill, I had to orient myself for a second. It's kind of a downhill, and I guess it was enough that the pannier that wasn't clipped in slid forward and then into my front wheel.
Oh, wow.
Just as I was getting going.
Catching traction.
So caught the spokes, clipped into the spokes, and like just totally went right in to the wheel well, stopping the front wheel, causing my back wheel to just go vertical.
Wow.
Right over me. And I say it was a graceful fall, and I say this only because that's how it was described to me.
And I believe you.
But in my head, it was, oh shit, I'm on the ground now.
Right. Like it happens before you have a chance to process it.
Yeah. I have toe cages, and I got my right foot out and was swinging it over my bike and realized I can't do that and still like maintain balance. So I just sort of rode it and kind of arched my back as much as possible to kind of counterbalance, hoping that somehow my back wheel would, you know, rest, like go behind me or
get
back
down.
Onto the pavement. And of course it didn't. It just kept going forward and forward until like I am pretty much 90 degrees with the road, and then it, you know, flops over to the side.
Ah, yes.
And I try to catch myself with my hand. I kind of screwed up my wrist a little bit.
Is that feeling any better than it was before?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. Still painful.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah.
I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah. And I get up, lift my bike, put it on my shoulder, walk over to the corner, and everyone's just kind of like going about their business.
Yeah.
You know, and my friend that was at the coffee shop said by the time he got out, like he got his bill paid and was out, I was already gone. So apparently it happened a lot quicker than I perceived it. But yeah. Well, especially like after I was on the ground, you know, the adrenaline and everything, and I like shot back up and, you know, got off the road because I'm right in between, you know, these two pretty major roads in downtown. Got off the road, and then just, I guess, the anxiety of feeling like everybody is watching me do this, cars are passing, you know, just projecting my thoughts into everybody else's brain, you know.
The social theater.
Look at this asshole right here.
You're not.
I just want you to know. I'm just wasn't paying attention.
You just happened to end
at that time.
And it's physics.
It's physics.
You can't argue with that.
Yeah, but anyways, yeah, got up, took off, everything's fine.
I'm glad you're all right.
Thank you.
How's the red hair among horses?
She's great, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Didn't hurt her, didn't scratch her a bit?
Not at all. The wheel was slightly askew, but
there you go.
Other than that,
okay. Well, very good. You also helped us move the last of our belongings out of our apartment. I am now officially...
You are homeless.
Pretty much, yeah. And it's by choice, and it's because I want to go traveling this summer. But yeah, I'm kind of like floating around the town that I used to live in, and now I'm just here. So it's a strange feeling. But yeah, renting a room from some folks a lot farther out, hence the bus debacle. So, anyways, Kath.
Thank you for not making me ride all the way out there.
If you'd been on the show, 2 years earlier, you would have.
You would have. Yeah. That's right.
Well, I guess even, like a year and a half ago, we were still out there.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's much more convenient for you now.
Yeah.
Kath, what gets you excited about your bike?
What gets me excited?
You mentioned it's a Bockfietz.
It
has a box in the front.
With an S.
Not a Bockfeet?
It's not a Bockfeet. There's no such thing as a Bockfeet.
Did I not say Bockfeet?
No, you're fine.
Oh, okay.
I'm just like the Twitter police for
that.
I can't let it go.
But everyone else is like, Bockfeet.
No, it's not an English word.
Yeah.
The S is the singular.
Well, that's an important thing to point out.
That is. I was not aware of this.
Some lady leading kids on a ride, maybe a homeschool group or a private school group or something like that. But last year during the school year, and I've got my son riding around the circle because we're early for kindergarten half day pickup.
Okay.
So we're riding around the circle.
Killing time.
Yep. And she goes, "Oh, look, a Bockfeet," to all these kids. I'm like,
"Oh,
it's a Bockfeet."
You're teaching children. Please be responsible.
Two is Bockfeet.
You're going to have all these like, poorly grammared students going out and spewing mistruths about cargo bikes into the world. Yeah.
Language is a thing. See? No, I didn't even tell you about that. I used to be a sign language interpreter.
Did you?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I have three cousins who are deaf, so that's how I got into the whole area for the first thing. But
Into Portland?
No, in Sacramento.
Oh, okay.
And loved it. Love the people, everything about it. As I used to say, it tickles my brain in this really good way.
Hmm.
And you never have to take work home.
Right.
Because the person talks or signs, and then you put it out in the other language, and when it's done, everybody says bye and thank you, and you're done.
Yeah.
I mean, there is occasional,
this is a pretty good job. Yeah.
There's occasional homework where, somebody's going to give a speech, and so you want to look at it beforehand to make sure there isn't anything tricky going on. And yeah, but other than that, it was not like my husband, who's a computer programmer, who has to sit up at night and work sometimes. Like, no.
Sucker.
Yeah, he's the one that's bringing work home. You don't
exactly.
have that necessarily.
No. Well, not now. Now I'm on 24/7 because I'm mom.
Right. So you are a full-time mom at this point.
I am full-time mom.
Yeah.
I have worked one job as an interpreter up here in Oregon, and that was it.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
I'm mom now.
There you go. And your mom on cargo bike as well.
The
bike is it expressly for carrying your children around? Would you say that's fair, or do you
no? I very much enjoy riding somewhere without them. Okay. They are only getting heavier, and I am only getting older.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah.
So
much love to your children. It's not about the kids; it's about the weight.
Do you wish they would ride their own bikes? Well, it's also about active transportation. I want them to be active too.
Right.
I was not active. I did the kids ride bikes thing. You know, and I rode my bike in junior high and high school to get places because it was cheaper than having gas money for a car. Yeah. And we were not like the wealthiest family in town by any means. So, it was freedom too, time to yourself, time to ride with your friends, go over to somebody else's house and then ride somebody, whatever. That was all great. But, I did the typical thing. Graduate, had a car at the senior year and didn't ride my bike much after that. After that, it was recreation.
You got your rite of passage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
So,
but it was another decade. I graduated from high school in 1983. It was like a whole other world.
So how long were you without a bike or at least not using it much?
Not using it much? Well, easily 1982 until 2011.
Okay. So what was the kick? What got you back in?
What got me? I absolutely have to credit Sarah Gilbert.
Okay.
Because
she's cool.
I had no clue. We moved up to Portland because we wanted to be car free. And we knew it was a great place to be car free.
Okay,
transit, walk scores, look at all this stuff. This is great. We have a son with Down syndrome. And when we started looking at the Portland area in general, up pops this news story of a group of families in McMinnville whose kids have all known each other since playgroup days before school. and are now graduating high school and want to move out. So this group of parents buys an apartment building. So their kids can move out, but they're not going to get screwed over by the landlord because the landlord's all the parents that they know, right?
It's intriguing.
It was just, this is a place where people think the way I like.
Yeah.
So let's move there. So we moved, but we moved to Hillsborough. Please laugh. Absolutely.
It's mostly just the eye roll.
We were three houses from a bus stop.
Can I just interject real quick? Have we had a spit take on the podcast before?
Not yet.
Because Aaron
came close.
Enjoying his cane soda squirt here, and all of a sudden the funny thing happened. So, yeah.
We were three houses from a bus stop and a 5 to 10 minute walk from the fairgrounds max stop. So
okay.
We thought, we're golden.
Yeah.
And after we had been there for a while, we got rid of the van. It's like, mm-hmm. Ugh, who needs that crap anymore?
So you were car or less?
We were car free
in Hillsborough
without bikes.
Which
Double stroller power.
Hillsborough would be a lovely place to be. Like, I've thought about that before. Like,
it's got that Main Street there.
Yeah, it's got a great little downtown area.
We lived on Main Street, but East Main Street out by Brookwood.
Okay.
So,
see, I don't know a lot about the specifics of Hillsborough's geography.
It's the street that the library is on.
Okay.
And Costco crosses with it, kind of. So it wasn't that far away to get to the library or Costco. It was a half-hour walk to the Albertsons, walk around the grocery store, half-hour walk home. So I was trying to, you know, how do I fit an hour of exercise in my day now that I've got this double stroller and the kids can nap while I get some exercise in?
Oh, yes.
And it was just one more errand. But when you use the stroller to do the errand, it was like magic. Suddenly I had time to do it, and I got something accomplished, and yeah, it was great.
And who knows, it might even be fun.
It was.
Yeah.
It was absolutely wonderful. Now, the snowpocalypse happened while we lived out there.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And that's different than being in the central city. Like, was the transit situation different out there?
No, my husband went to Costco. I guess we did still have the van then.
Okay.
But we weren't using it often. He went to Costco, loaded up on big stuff, and we would take walks in the snow. It was fine. It was great. It was quiet. We lived on East Main Street, you know, for Hillsborough, lots of traffic.
Definitely.
And it was just, I would go outside and shoot video at night that you couldn't see anything, but I was like, listen to the quiet. There's nothing but snow out here.
Nothing but tape hiss.
I loved it. Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
There was one time in the snow that we were at the grocery store, and this family who I have to assume, because it was Hillsborough, very farming type area, it was a large family of people that did not speak English as a first language. And when they realized that I had these two little kids and all these groceries and no car, they're like, Oh, no car? No car? I'm like, well, yeah, no car. No car's good. And like, they were very confused. They did not know why I thought no car was good.
I mean, that's a disorienting idea to a lot of people. Yeah, have you gotten that a lot?
Oh, yeah.
Because I assume you have relatives who don't share your practice. Like,
I don't have any relatives that do.
Okay.
My mother said to me, you have to keep a car for emergencies, mother says.
Mm-hmm.
Now, try and understand that I was 42 at this point.
Right.
Had two kids, the oldest of which had two open heart surgeries. You know, I'd lived through emergencies. Thank you very much.
So at this point, mother says,
"You just need a car for those." I just laughed.
Doesn't carry as much weight. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, mom.
Right. Right. And friends, other folks. Were there objections?
I found new friends.
Okay.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
So anyway, we gave up the car. That was no big, not really a difficult choice, because that was the whole reason we left Sacramento.
Right.
We thought we could not live car-free in Sacramento.
Okay.
I now have online friends that I've since met in person, but met online, who are in Sacramento living without a car.
Right.
How do you do that? We had to run away to do that. You know?
What made it difficult in Sacramento?
It's sprawl.
Mm-hmm.
Sprawl. We love the urban growth boundary up here.
Yeah.
It was sprawl, flat and hot. I worked in heating and air. That's why I didn't go out and see the tutorial for the thermostat. I don't know. You can't not make it. There is no thermostat yet. That they're getting simpler. They're not getting more complex.
Right.
I don't know how to work them. Yeah. I worked in heating and air for like over 10 years.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And, I mean, not out installing or servicing.
Right. So at some point tonight, if we did not turn on the AC, you would have been like, you know it's here, right?
No, I know nothing about this building.
Tammy and Logan from Rowdy Kittens, they started out in Sacramento, I believe. Have you met them?
Nope.
Okay, they're good folks.
Cool.
We just, I think actually last week's episode is the interview we did with them, but talked to them just a couple months ago. But yeah, they were an inspiring couple that they think they started Car Free in Sacramento.
Yeah.
But I think they also came to Portland for similar reasons.
It was so stinking hot there. I mean, because I worked in heating and air, I knew there's a minimum of 20 days a year where it's over 100.
Mm-hmm.
How do we do this?
Right.
How on earth do we do this? How do we keep the kids cool?
And in Portland, you have like two of those. So,
for now.
Yeah. until the climate changes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, we were out there in Hillsborough, Car Free, and Twitter. I get on Twitter. I'm pretty sure it was Snowpocalypse that got me interested in Twitter because that was fun.
It's the great connector.
Yeah. Exactly. That was a lot of fun. And so somehow in there was how I ran across Sarah Gilbert.
Mm-hmm.
She was doing, the Twitter Storm team tweets too, just like everybody else was. And I'm like, Mom, on a bike, Mom, just with a bike with no car? I've got no car. We could do a bike. I don't have to walk everywhere. We could get bikes.
Like a savage.
Yeah, I know. So it wasn't that long after I'd had this, we could get bikes idea that, we talked about it a lot and we didn't like trailers.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are down at exhaust pipe level. They're behind you. You can't bicycle see what's trailers. Going on. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So they had the first Feats of Parenthood at Clever Cycles.
Feats of Parenthood.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah.
So we maxed and bussed over there, over an hour. It took us an hour to get to the zoo.
Right.
So then the rest of the way in.
Is that like 25 miles distance-wise?
I have no idea.
No, it's cool. It's a long ways. Takes a while.
Yeah, I haven't driven it, man. I don't know. Anyway, we went to go look at everybody's rigs.
Okay.
And that was the first time I saw Katie Proctor's wooden panniers.
Mm-hmm.
And
I haven't seen those in person yet.
Well, she doesn't have them anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but they were amazing. It's mm-hmm. like, baby on board. It's just big enough to plop a car seat in.
Right.
So they were amazing.
Yeah, she was telling us about that, I think, 2 years ago when she first came on.
Yeah, I had blew my mind.
Yeah.
Blew my mind. Then I saw, that was the first place I saw Buckbeats.
Mm-hmm.
Was that day. I was like, oh, look at that.
So that was a horizon expanding.
I could buckle Evan in. How different would it be for him? That would not be that much of a change for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's buckled in. I wonder if this would work. So took it on a little test ride. Todd Farner, bless him, said it'll take you at least 10 minutes to get used to this.
Right.
You don't steer it like a bike. You don't lean. You steer it like a car.
Yeah.
And he did this. He actually did the sign for driving a truck. Not that he knew that he was doing it, but that's the kind of thing that clicked with me.
Yeah.
And so I did a couple of laps and I was done. I was set.
Understood it completely.
And I was like, this is meant to be. Let's put Evan in and see what he does.
Okay.
Put him in. Now he does this kind of weird upward vertigo type thing where if he's not comfortable, he'll look up and duck like the sky is going to fall on him, kind of.
And maybe that's how he feels. And this is your son, Evan.
Yes, yes. So not verbal, so we don't know exactly how he's feeling. Right. We can only guess.
Right.
But he did none of that.
Okay.
He just sat down and went, yeah, okay, whatever. Oh, we're riding around a circle? Yeah, okay, fine, whatever.
Let's do this.
He was so cool with it. I was like, that's it, done. My husband said to me, I would tell you that if you can ride it home, you can have it. But I see the look in your eye, and you will try.
You'll try to ride
so
it home.
I'm not saying that. So he bought me a helmet.
Okay.
I bought my helmet that day at that first Feats of Parenthood. Martina fitted it on me while she's like adjusting all sorts of things, adjusting on me and talking to me about Evan the whole time.
Uh-huh.
And that was it. That was my down payment.
Okay.
On my dream.
You get the helmet, you're going to have to follow
through
and
right.
get the bike.
Right. So my husband bought me a little cruiser bike at the Washington County Community Cycling Center thing. I don't know exactly what it's called.
I've heard of this. I can't remember what it's called either.
No gears, mm-hmm. but it's Hillsborough. It's flat. So I can ride to Costco. I'd hang grocery bags like panniers off the back rack and mm-hmm. a backpack on my back. I could put it on the max and take it two stops up to the Orenco New Seasons and get groceries. I could ride the other way and go to Target.
Yeah.
It was totally doable. And but I knew that I could do the biking thing, but you know, it meant I left the kids at home for errands. Mm-hmm. Whereas I had been used to incorporating them into everything.
Right.
So it just so happened that we found a place near the Clinton Street Theater the same month that Bachfeeks came up on Craigslist.
Oh.
Clever was out of stock. So we were kind of twiddling our thumbs like, I guess, you know, we have to wait. And, no, that's okay. We've got the stroller. We'll walk around. And it's fine. It's a much more walkable neighborhood than where we were. And
yeah.
We were managing out there.
For sure.
But this thing came up and... Yeah, Jessica Roberts, Twitter. Twitter, it was all Twitter.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't have known about that Craigslist ad except for Twitter. Jessica Roberts noticed it, tweeted it, Clever retweeted it, and then another girl, I should tell, how rude, woman.
A full-grown woman.
I know. Her name is Anne. She's PDX Rocks.
Okay.
I still owe her a beer because she retweeted it and tagged me.
Oh, nice.
And that's how I saw it.
Okay.
And that's how we got it.
There we go.
It was amazing.
That's very fortunate.
It was meant to be.
Yeah. So
what meant to be?
Just spitballing here, but what is the possibility that the bicycle you bought was the bicycle that was later stolen from Emily Finch and it went through some time portal thing? Were there any similarities? No. Okay.
Her bike was much newer.
Okay.
My bike, Todd actually explained to me one day, it has a texture coating on the part of the frame between.
Oh, right. I think you might have been telling me about this when I first saw your
that
bike.
He goes, oh, I know what bike that is. Apparently, the very first carton that they had shipped over, it was scratched.
Okay.
And so they put the coating on it to protect it.
Oh.
And so he knows precisely what bike that is.
Interesting.
Yeah, there were two other owners. They were both dads.
Okay.
And my new thing to tell everybody is there's nothing wrong with a used bike. It's a great idea. Don't let anybody tell you can't find a used Bachfeeks because one of the selling points is that you can sell it and get your money back.
Mm-hmm.
It maintains its value. It's not going to be the same value as a new one now. You know,
but what you bought it for
what you then. Bought it for then it doesn't lose
but
if it's a Brooks saddle that was broken in by two dads and you're a mom, switch out the damn saddle. That's like wearing somebody else's Birkenstocks.
Right
I rode
or
that
worse.
Bike for 3 years going, this is why do people like Brooks saddles? Mm-hmm. This is not comfy.
It's the worst saddle I've ever had.
I tried all sorts of different ways and da-da-da-da-da, and I thought it was all me. And now I have a brand spanking new one, and it was comfy from ride two.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
So you just need to get your own and kind
exactly.
of imprint upon it.
Sprung
exactly.
or unsprung?
Sprung.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Bachfeeks.
Yeah.
I Big believer in springs.
I'm in an SUV.
Right.
So, you know.
It is a sporty utility vehicle, I guess you could say.
I have the cup holder and the mirror and everything else. Yeah.
Right. Which cup holder do you have?
I don't know. Whatever Jeremy had Clever put on it.
The little round one? Yeah. All right. A coffee cup fits into it.
Yeah. Clean canteens slip through it, though.
Oh, okay.
I have to put those bracelets, like the Livestrong type bracelets. Well, in that case, has them as well. So mine has two nutcase bracelets
on it. Okay, there you go.
So
and that keeps them from... sliding through.
Yep.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Aaron, I was going to ask, have you ridden a Long John style bike before?
I've not.
Okay. No, so you don't have experience with this steering thing.
No, not at all. I'm a little afraid of it. I'm so used to leaning. In fact.
Yeah.
After a while, you lean.
Oh, you do.
Okay.
Okay.
Tell Todd. I lean, and I try to ride it with no hands, even though he says it can't be done.
Oh yeah,
because he says it can't be done.
Right.
So I will learn.
Do we know yet if it can be done? Have you?
No. Okay. I have for seconds.
Okay.
Split seconds, probably not even a full second.
That's like me on my tall bike. I've been deathly afraid to try handslessness on that one. Just because it seems like that would end poorly every time.
Yeah. One hand is so simple, though.
Right.
It rides so smooth once you get going. It's not even that it's wobbly when you start. It's that it weaves at slow speeds. You can't hold a straight line at slow speeds. You are going to weave. And that's just how it is. I've done the Kittical Mass St. Patrick's Day Parade. They do this in Selwood, St. Patrick's Day Parade. That was how I learned to ride slowly and control the bike slowly. Because there's random little kids and random people walking across the road. And it worked great. It was good training.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, you are the proprietor currently of PortlandEyes.com, so we should mention that.
I am, and I'm very excited about it, and I don't write enough, but I love it. I love that Dave was nice enough to pass that down to me.
Yeah, and we've had Dave on the show, Dave Foyt, about 3 times, I think.
He's awesome, if not more.
But he decided to kind of step back from that one and give someone else a chance.
He's no longer enamored with biking in Portland.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yes. So, and you kind of are.
I know, I am.
You seem like the right person to kind of pass that along to.
He had approached a couple of us moms and said, I think it would be good for family biking. I think that's where the Portland thing is at. And it would be good. And it wouldn't be too much work if you shared it. Nobody else would say yes. So I'm on my own.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Flying solo.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for keeping it. It's a great URL.
It is.
It deserves to be kept alive in some way or another.
I have not taken down any of Dave's posts. Mm-hmm. I love his "Why I Don't Wear a Helmet" post.
Uh-huh. No, he's got some great stuff there. And yeah, I think we talked with him. If anybody's interested, they could go back to thesprocketpodcast.com and check out our archive. But we talked with him a little bit about the helmet controversy and all of that. But yeah, just a treasure trove of kind of the bicycle as an implement of everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great log of stuff there.
Yep, absolutely.
That and his story of the collision on the Esplanade. Were you there when we talked to him about that?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Totally. Okay. Yeah. Well, tell us about the cargo bike.
The cargo bike gang.
Yes, I'm looking at the thing you just gave me, and I realized I didn't remember what it was called.
Yes, we are the PDX Cargo Bike Gang. We have a Facebook page for our group. I am not who started it, but I jumped into it with both feet. I think it's fantastic.
You're excited about
it. I'm totally excited about it. Michelle Corbett is who started it.
Okay.
And she tagged 4 other biking moms that she knows as admins and said, let's do this. We had within 2 hours, we had over 100 members.
Oh, wow.
Because we just went crazy adding friends who were then going, oh, this is awesome. I always wanted to be in a gang. We're all parents with little kids. We get to be in a gang.
So you're not not a knife-wielding gang.
We're not. We're a bike-wielding gang.
Nice. Which one is more dangerous, really?
Exactly. Yeah.
Wait, that's not the way I was supposed to frame that. Which one is cooler? Which one makes you look
one
more?
One is definitely more dangerous to the status quo.
Right. Which one is more dangerous to the establishment?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
There we go. Yeah.
Not the knife.
Yeah. So what is your role? Do you have a role in this?
Well, I'm one of the admins. There's 4 of us now, and one of them, which basically means when people want to be added to the group, I get to say yes.
There we go.
That's pretty much all it means. Anybody can set up an event. I mean, it's a Facebook group, so anybody can set up an event. And that was the whole idea. When Emily and Sarah took their ride to the coast,
mm-hmm.
Michelle went, I want to ride with people.
There we go.
I want to do fun, crazy stuff like that. Let's set up a group. And, it'll be people we know. And we'll be able to share our phone numbers and say, I'm going for a ride. Anybody else want to go? I'm going to IKEA. Anybody else want to go? Whatever.
I'm going to get donuts.
But then it went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's way too big to people don't post their phone numbers. But
we
set up Facebook events.
There we go.
And
does that mean there are creepy people involved now?
No.
It's just that no one wants to put their phone number out
there. It's not actually people face-to-face she had originally envisioned.
And there are enough other ways to get in touch. Like Facebook is essentially a phone. I was thinking Lance Poehler. I still don't have his phone number.
But you get in contact with him.
But we've been, I borrowed his trailer and everything. Yeah. I feel like I need to ask him for his phone number at some point, but he's also very responsive. Every time I send him a Facebook message, he gets it instantly. So,
well, they're all if you've got a smartphone or, or whatever,
exactly.
They're all so connected anyways.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyways, phone numbers.
So yeah,
phone numbers are bullshit.
Take that, phone company.
Yeah.
Can I get give me your Twitter handle?
There you go.
Your sign?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm Kay Yule everywhere.
Are you?
I feel sorry. Yeah, I am. Okay. I feel sorry for Matt's cousin Kevin because I've taken Kay Yule everywhere. Yeah. So we do donut rides. That's what people talk about. But they're not even rides. They're meetups. They're donut meetups.
Right.
We don't care how you get there. Come hang out with people who like cargo bikes, like you do.
Like there's going to be some interesting conversations happening here.
Exactly.
That's what I hear you say.
Yeah, no, absolutely no one is going to say, you put your kids on that? Yeah.
Right. And no one's going to say, oh, you drove here?
No.
Right.
No, we don't care. Mm-hmm. Get her how you want.
Right. So it's a no snark zone.
Yep. Get her how you want. We just want to hang out.
Okay.
Yeah. And very often it's me and the person who suggested the place. But I get a bike ride out of it, and I get to see new shops with pastries or donuts.
Yeah.
It's not always donuts either.
Sure.
We've done gluten-free by request. We've done North Portland. We've done Selwood. We've done,
And that's all you really want at the end is like a reason to do something.
Exactly.
And someone to do it with at some point.
We'd been doing them monthly. I randomly picked the second Thursday of the month at 10 a.m., which means it's, very often it's stay-at-home moms like me.
Right.
Because of the time we picked. But people work random jobs. Not everybody's 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. So I always say, tell me.
Right.
You want a place and a time that works for you, you tell me what they are. I will set it up.
Totally.
I will come. I don't know if anybody else will, but I will come. So we're kind of moving now. We've been doing it every month, but we're starting to move to every other month so that we can do, I can't even remember what they're called now, but it's food.
Like food carts? What is
it? Well, no, not food carts. It's food donations.
Oh, okay.
Collecting food donations and taking them. It's a Southeast thing. Mm-hmm. Southeast is in the name, I think.
All right.
But they only do the even months of the year.
Okay.
So we're moving the donut rides just to the odd months. So we actually do something productive in the even months. Yeah.
You can do something to give back.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We want to be a nice gang.
Yeah.
Still more dangerous to the status quo.
That's true. And that's kind of the point. We want to get a lot of people, not, fritter everything away on going to have donuts. Get a lot of people together to show up and bring a lot of food to this thing. Mm-hmm. And everybody else is bringing lots of donations by cars, and cars can carry more.
Sure.
Unless we get a quantity of us together. Right. So
unless
that's
have,
the idea.
Yeah, a critical mass of cargo bikes.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
By the way, was that frittering away your time on donuts, was that intentional? Because that was funny. I like that.
Sorry. No, it wasn't.
Well, before we close out, we got some headlines and some mail. Tell us about the DRT, because you fought for a new category here.
Well, I don't know if
you fought. Tooth
and nail. I whined.
The way I heard it was you and Ethan were arm wrestling.
Oh, no, because he would have won. No, I went up to Mike Cobb the day of last year because I volunteered to work the kids' table, which basically meant don't let the paper they can color on blow away. And when the parents show up, ask them to buy one of Tomas's coloring books.
There we go. Logistics.
He's at the next table over. Yeah. So I wasn't busy 100% of the time, and I realized the whole reason that I was able to volunteer is because I can't ride the DRT. I've got this 90-pound bike, and it's my only transportation.
Mm-hmm.
The whole lifting it over a meter thing, it's like, what if I ruin my bike? How do I get my kid to school on Monday?
Right.
So
it's not like your hobby mobile.
It's not for fun, and I don't have a stable of bikes. I am not the
no fun with this bike.
No, well, it's all fun with the bike.
I'm kidding, but you're saying you don't want to destroy it.
Exactly, I'm careful with it because it's my only thing. So anyway, I said, what about you guys? Keep saying, we want this to be real. Really as close to reality as what it will be the fourth day after the big one hits. I said, the fourth day after the big one hits, I got a kid in my bike, but I want to help.
Right.
Think about that, please. Mm-hmm. Think about it. So.
So you're going to lift your kid over the.
No. No. It's supposed to be educational, and I don't know. They're being, how they're vague.
Okay.
They just announced it today. Here are the three classes, e-assist, open, and. Now I can't even remember what the third one's called.
Oh, okay. Criterion.
No, it starts with an R, and it's not refreshments. Darn you for giving me a beer. All I can think is refreshments.
Speaking of which one did you get there?
What are you drinking over there?
What am I drinking? I can't even pronounce this. I can't speak German, but it's like a Hefeweizen.
Feets. In German, the S is singular.
There you go. It's Weissbier.
There we go. Perfect. Yes, from, what is it, Bavaricum or something like that.
Yeah. It's one of the ones that I have bought before, so
okay,
I know it doesn't make my nose stuffy.
Excellent. Excellent. I'm drinking one that makes my nose stuffy. I also have the allergies right now, so... But Aaron, you found me Samuel Smith's Imperial Stout, which, oh, I forgot it was an Imperial Stout.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Is this bad?
No, it's good. What? It means I'm going to have a better night. it means it'll last me all the way through this concert I'm going to later.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And you have what with the...
I drank mine.
You killed it.
I killed it. This was the Made in Mexico Squirt.
Ah, yes.
It's cool. The bottle at the bottom, like the glass does this whole spiral thing. So
yeah.
It's almost like I can grip it with my hand here.
Right. It's ergonomically pleasing.
Yeah.
Well, so suffice to say, they're working on a new category for families.
Yeah, it's there. It's up.
Excellent.
I've filled out the form. Yeah. And
it's super secret until the day of.
Well, it's not that it's super secret. They don't know exactly how long it's going to be.
Okay. They're still working
on it. People
were
asking questions in the thread in the Bike Gang where Ethan posted. The form's up. Go fill it out if you want to be in.
Yeah.
Because they collect information and then they send you an email. And if you get the email, then you send in your feet and then you're writing.
Oh, okay. There we go.
So there's a process.
Right. And everyone should follow this due process.
Yes. Yeah. Whatever.
Excellent. Well, Kat, thank you for coming out and telling us just a little bit. We could probably spend hours talking about the stuff that you do. So we'll have to do this again.
Excellent.
But thank you for coming out.
Thank you
and,
for having
me. Can you join us for the headlines in the mail?
Certainly.
Excellent.
I will keep sipping.
Aaron, I'll put the music in for the headlines later so we can just launch right into them. That's right. I like my bike. It's fast. I like my bike. It's fast. It circles around the city lights. Yeah, almost as good as the music.
From Bike Portland, preparation tips from a Pedalpalooza veteran, Chris Full McGraw, who, by the way, if you happen to have been on the shift list recently, notice he was hosting a screen printing party.
Right.
And I apologize. I didn't make it.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure they forgive you.
But, yeah. Anyways, Chris Full McGraw covers all of the bases for getting yourself ready to join multiple rides across multiple days without forgetting the essentials. His write-up includes taking care of your bicycle, getting your personal maintenance taken care of, stocking up on food, booze, and supplies, and going over the calendar with a fine-tooth comb.
So if you are in Portland and preparing to join Pedalpalooza, or if you would like to come and join Pedalpalooza from somewhere else, or if you're going out to do any sort of group ride anywhere, this is all good advice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's not just have a big bike you can throw all your crap in.
That is good advice as well.
That's sort of like the trump card for you, isn't it?
I don't know.
Throw it in the box.
Throw it in. Whatever. Two coats? Sure. Throw it in.
Exactly.
Next from Gizmodo, San Francisco police use high-tech solutions to track bicycle thieves. Sent in by Mark the Hammock Guy.
Thanks, Mark the Hammock Guy.
Bike theft in San Francisco is high and rising, so the city's decided to take a technological approach to catching the culprits, tagging expensive bikes with GPS trackers so it can find out who's stealing them and then charge them with felony. Ooh, felony. The New York Times reports that a small team of these at the San Francisco Police Department are trading traditional techniques for transponders and iPhones, tracking crooks in real time and posting the results to @SFPD Bike Theft, their Twitter account. The officers use expensive bicycles to ensure that they're taken and that the thieves can be charged with a felony, which are locked up and then inevitably nabbed and then traced.
I was curious, does that count as entrapment?
There is something kind of strange about setting something out purposefully to be stolen.
Right.
That I don't think it goes that far, though,
because you'd have to be saying, hey, look at that bike. You want to take that, don't you? You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah.
So entrapment would be like you should really steal that bike.
Yeah, I think so. Just having it parked there, well, you can resist.
Yeah.
This is true. Like, no one's telling you to take that bike.
But I think maybe the answer to that is, at least, like, instead of, like, planting bikes and, like, finding out who the thieves are that way, the next article here is going to explain more about how...
From Bike Portland.
Yes.
Project 529 uses high-tech solutions to track bicycle thieves and more.
And you pronounced that perfectly, by the way. I did not coach you on that, but it's 529. As Michael Anderson explains, it's the
529 or 529.
Exactly. Yeah. It's 529. The hours in which you would be using your bicycle for fun. Yeah.
Hit Project 529 hits the internet last month with a web and mobile app that aspires to be a next generation stolen bicycle registry by mobilizing social media and law enforcement awareness with an attention grabbing petition asking eBay and Craigslist to begin requiring serial numbers for the bikes they sell. Interesting.
Yeah.
Additionally,
for mine.
Jay Allard.
Wait, is there a store here?
Well, I made sure mine wasn't a stolen bike on Craigslist.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But even Clever can't tell me what my serial number is.
Oh, really? Okay.
Like it's not printed on there.
No, they'd have to take the wheel lock off. It's underneath stuff.
It's like really hidden.
And since I don't know, I only know the name of the guy I bought it from, not the original owner. I'm the third.
Oh, okay.
They can't look it up in the computer because I don't know his name.
So lots of tools to figure out what your bike's serial number
is.
Okay.
Additionally, Jay Allard, the company's ball cap clad CEO, says the firm might create the eHarmony of trails, matching riders to their perfect outdoor adventures, or it might track maintenance reminders and fitness routines, becoming two regular Joes, what Allard says the six-year-old Strava has become for the pros, or it might become a digital toolkit for bike shops that need to upgrade their services to compete with online discounters, or all of the above.
So they're really looking at like the intersection of bicycling, which is a very simple medium, and tech, which is a very complex one, to kind of serve like, how can we take this simple implement and use algorithms and computers and like making machines do the work for us to kind of figure out like how can we use these to our advantage? So I'm excited about what they're offering, and I think they're probably going to have some good stuff in the works. I do like this stolen bicycle registry idea, because that already exists like with the serial number, but if you have their thing that you install into the bicycle, it's basically this transponder system.
I'm
showing my ignorance, because I don't remember if they are the ones offering a transponder system or not, but they do have kind of this stolen bicycle platform that if you have your bike stolen, you can immediately blast both to law enforcement and to your social networks. And through this system, other people with their product say like, hey, if you were near here, watch out for this bike, because that bike is stolen. So it's basically opening all of the eyes near where the bike was at the same time.
Dig it.
Using technology and Twitter. Yeah. So, yes, we come full circle.
Good. Yes.
Twitter is great. yeah. Well, hey, you know what we got?
You got a beer, and she's got a beer. I got a soda.
What's left in the show, Aaron?
I had a soda. I got some more water over here.
We got mail. Hey.
Oh, yeah, we can't do the sounder, can we? Because I've got your machine. I've got your machine right here.
You've got mail. Yeah.
So Johnny K writes to us, I finally got myself a French press to use at work, so now I don't have to drink the coffee syrup that the company offers for free. Syrup is for pancakes, not to drink.
That's true.
I can finally drink the real deal, and I don't have to carry my big thermos on my bike anymore. Not sure if others carry a thermos, but they can be heavy in a pannier and take up a lot of room. I may look for a French press that is bike friendly. Anyway, now my 12-mile commute is much nicer without the weight of the thermos.
Yeah, and actually, when he wrote that, I was thinking I have.
A French press kind of.
Yes, I have a tumbler, like a coffee mug tumbler, with a French press screen built into it, and plunger and such. So, what I used to do back in the day, and this is helpful when I'm going to work and I have to stay there, which is not usually the case, but at the beginning of every school year. I can put fresh grounds into the cup before I leave the house in the morning, and then I can fill it up with the hot water tap at work, and then 4 minutes later, voila, I have fresh French press coffee, which is fabulous. So, yes. And props to you, Johnny K, for avoiding the syrup. I don't even like syrup on pancakes.
Really?
Yeah, seriously.
Wow.
That stuff is gross. It's disgusting.
We'll talk later.
All right. I like it in soda water.
Lastly, no, not lastly.
Second to lastly.
Second to lastly.
Penultimately.
Second ultimately. Ethan from Energy Cycle shares, we recently had an event at Hardywood Brewery where we had 2 spin sessions, 40 cyclists total, on our energy-producing bike trainers. We harness the energy to produce power to make... Wait for it. The beer we created was called Amperage Ale, and it was quite tasty.
And that's super clever. And that's a great name for a beer.
Yeah.
I'm curious what Amperage Ale tastes like.
Yeah. Don't send us mail. No, I care.
I bet the taste is shocking.
No.
That was dumb. But Ethan, this is Ethan who we talked to way back in the day. I believe his organization used to be under a different name, and okay. I think it was Pedal Power, which I think that's what it was when we interviewed him. That's like 2.5 years ago or something like that. He's also the only guest we ever did a remote Skype interview with where the whole thing fell apart, and like, it's kind of a repeat of what happened, 2 weeks ago, where
you text the machine further than its capabilities.
And we had taped almost an entire hour with him, and then the computer shut down, and we were left with nothing.
Oh.
So that's what I believe it's in the 40s, like the micro episode is what we called it. We did like a 15-minute, sorry, we lost all the audio, guys. And, you know, he gave a very brief description. But we did another full-length interview with him. Below episode 50 with Ethan from, used to be Pedal Power, and now it's Energy Cycle.
Right on.
Which is another great name.
You know we're growing hops at our house?
I think you might have mentioned that.
Did I mention that?
Are you going to make beer at your house?
We are thinking of making beer at our house.
That's a great idea. Yeah, I was at my friend's house earlier today. He's also got a hops trestle.
Really?
Yeah. It seems like a fun thing to grow. Either that or artichokes.
They just look cool, man.
Yeah.
I do that all the time.
Yeah.
Artichokes? Why does that place have artichokes on their site?
Why is there an enormous artichoke in the logo?
Like, how many times do I have to tell you?
A hop. Yeah.
California, Artichoke Festival, Garlic Festival, all that stuff. You know, assume it's a festival I haven't been to.
Right. And what was the Castroville is like the artichoke capital of the world, which is we went very close to that, but not through it on our bike tour.
Oh, no.
I kind of wish that we had gone to the artichoke capital of the world.
That would have been... Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember now.
It's okay.
Yeah,
we were on our way to Monterey, and there were clouds rolling
in. It was that place that looked like Isengard Jr.
Yes. Yes, it did.
Oregon City looks like Isengard.
Yeah.
But then Castroville looks like Isengard Jr.
Okay. Yeah.
I just killed the conversation.
No, it's okay. No, and I was actually thinking, are you thinking of the power plant?
Yeah.
Okay. That was close to it, but Castroville itself was outside. We saw it on the horizon.
Right. Okay. Know?
It's much nicer than Isengard, I'll say that.
Okay. So now, penultimately, right?
Finally.
Finultimately.
Ultimately, we come to the end of the mail.
I'm just going to destroy the English language.
It's living. You just changed it.
So. Former guest Diane from TriMet shares, Comto Oregon is putting on this bike safety event June 18th, though it might be of interest to your millions of followers. Yes, yeah. Millions.
I think we might not have quite a million yet.
Conference of Minority Transportation Officials, Comto, is the nation's only multimodal advocacy organization, singular, for minority professionals and businesses in the transportation industry. Comto is a unique position to be involved to speak on behalf of minority professionals and businesses on the cutting edge of transportation issues that are sweeping the nation.
Yeah.
The PDX Bicyclists Commute.
So this is the event that she was recommending to us.
Okay, so this is the event that Comto is putting on.
Correct.
The PDX Bicyclists Commute, Wednesday, June 18th, 11:30 to 1 o'clock, ODOT Region 1 building, conference rooms A and B. That is at 123 Northwest Flanders Street. That is 123 Northwest Flanders Street. So pretty easy to remember, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Registration is required.
So, just let them know you're coming. I did not check if this costs something or not. But if you're really interested, you probably would pay for it. So,
yeah. So check
either
it
way,
out.
Yeah.
I imagine if you just look up Kamto, or even maybe you might be able to surf through it if you look up, like, I don't know.
Yeah, it is comto.org.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And thank you, Diane, for getting us in touch with that. Yeah. So, yeah, let's see. I was trying to remember if there's anything else that I'm supposed to talk about here. The Kick-Ass Oregon History, they reached their goal of fundraising.
Yay.
But they are doing stretch goals. So if you want even more Kick-Ass Oregon History, you can check them out over there at orhistory.com. They are good people. They are our friends, and we love what they do. So,
yes. Yeah. What are you doing Thursday night?
Thursday night, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to see Ellie Talheimer's book release at
Mellow Cult,
which is it's the Cycling Sojourner Washington edition.
Washington edition.
And Adele and I are going there to procure our own copy because we're going to Washington in the next couple of weeks on our bike trip. So might as well. Want to know where the good stuff is.
I'll be working.
All right. I hope it goes well.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So the reason why I asked actually was because you know what happens Thursday evening, Pedalpalooza kickoff.
Oh, that's right.
Bum, bum,
yeah, yeah. Those two things are happening at the same time.
Yes.
I've never done a kickoff ride. It sounds like fun.
I haven't either.
Yeah. I think last year.
How was it?
I thought everybody did it.
Okay. We're not cool enough.
No, we're newbies. That's how we feel. We're Pedalpalooza newbies.
Pedalpalooza is an awesome time of year, and it's right upon us.
The kickoff ride was inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of different kinds of bikes, lots of different kinds of people, and ended up at where Tazo used to be.
Mm-hmm. The tea company.
Yeah, so there's food carts right there and stuff, and it was very nice.
That's lovely.
It was. Yeah. It was lovely, but I would like to see Ellie myself.
Right, yeah. No, I'm quite excited about that. Aaron.
Yes, sir.
Where are you going to be on Saturday night? Saturday night the 7th?
Would that be the Guthrie ride?
That's Friday night.
That's Friday night, yes. That's one of the ones I was looking forward to.
Are you going to be anywhere near Normandale Park?
I have this feeling like I should be.
I have this feeling you shouldn't be because I don't think it's quite your scene.
Oh, never mind then. I'm not going to be there.
There's going to be 1,000 nudists on bicycles.
Oh, snap.
Thousands upon thousands upon 10,000.
Yes, you're right.
And five angry neighbors that talk to the newspaper.
angry neighbors that talk to the newspaper and the rest of them filming them with their shitty phone cameras.
Yeah, yeah. It's a new location.
I hate these naked people. Boobies!
That's right. It's a new location. I hate them in public. It's a new location for the ride this year. Instead of starting downtown or somewhere near downtown, it's starting way out in eastern, I guess it's central, maybe. But
Hollywood-ish.
Yeah. And I believe the after party is going to end up somewhere under a freeway interchange, kind of near a brewery.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, I'll be there. I won't be wearing anything, and I'll be on my huge bike. So the weird thing about it this year is that I think for the past couple of years I've done it as an anonymous kind of – as a lark, you know. Just me and all these naked strangers, and now I actually know a lot of the people that I'll probably be seeing. So that'll be a different dynamic.
Yeah.
We talked about that on the Cargo Bike Gang.
Yes.
We did, because there's one of the moms in the group lives very close to that park. She's like, are other moms going? And I'm like, I know a group of moms that are going. Yeah, and she was asking. She goes, but isn't that weird to see people you know? And the first rule of the World Naked Bike Ride is you don't talk about you saw somebody on the World Naked Bike Ride.
Right.
Yeah.
Rule number two, you don't stare at their junk.
Yeah, there you go. It's fine.
No, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and it was actually I appreciate the World Naked Bike Ride because – I think there's a big lack of non-sexual nudity in our culture.
There is.
And I'm not entirely opposed to sexual nudity. I think we all enjoy that at some point or another in some context or another, and everyone has their right to that as a human being. But there's also the idea that our society is so ridiculously overhyped by the images that we usually get that to actually see a human body is I don't know, it's scandalous and kind of exciting in the wrong way.
Yes.
And I think the Dark Ages had it right. We just need to see more, our art should just have, boobies.
More boobies.
Exactly.
As many breastfeeding moms know.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's the idea that like if we take this and put it in a culture that's not like, hey, this is really going to turn you on, and it's just like, this is a body. These are people. You know, like, what the hell? Who cares? In a way, that's kind of like, it's also a protest against oil, but it's also just sure. like, who cares that we're naked? Which I think that's the thing I appreciate about it. So, rant done.
I think there does need to be some sort of normalizing of the naked form of naked bodies.
Mm-hmm.
I just spend too much energy hoping people don't ever see me naked.
Oh, right. Okay.
That once people do, then like I'm just going to have to like hide in a cave.
Okay.
I pretty much assume that if it all depends. I am considering going. It all depends on my kidney stone's behavior that day.
Oh, right.
If I'm in pain, I'm not going anywhere. Right, right.
How it's oriented and whether or not it's made its way out.
Exactly. Yeah. But, yeah, I kind of figured nobody's going to want to look, so what's it matter?
Right.
Right.
That's the
right.
whole point, is the variety and the quantity mean that mm-hmm. nobody's looking at anybody for any length of time.
Right, right. Yeah, and isn't that something we should all aspire to?
Exactly.
It's a utopia.
Exactly.
Do you agree? Do you disagree? Send your hate mail to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Well, hey, it's been a good show. Should we close ourselves out?
Sure.
Yeah.
Find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. You could email us at sprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Phone or text us at 503-847-9774. Our Twitter handle is... Sprocket Podcast.
Who would have cast?
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our intro and outro music. And thanks to Herbert for our headline sounder.
Thanks to Kathy Ewell for being a guest.
Yes.
Thank you.
And thanks to our sustaining donors for supporting the show costs. This would be Logan Smith, Shadowfoot, Katrina Melengard, Roger Grisby, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson, Ethan, Georgie, and Justin Martin.
We got to ask him how to say that.
Yeah.
Hey, Ethan, how do we say that? All right. Thanks. It's been a great show.
Thanks for listening.
Good night.
Brush your teeth.
Yeah. Bring your machine next time.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. No worries.
I'm looking for the credits now.
Oh, I have the short form at the bottom. That's a good song. That's a great B-roll today.
Why am I not finding this? Here we are.
Okay.
No, this... Oh, yes, intro from... Okay. find us on the internet.
A Sprocket Studios production.